Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. And as we usually do, let's begin by coming together, joining in that space, that quiet space within. If you're comfortable allowing your eyes to close and just taking a few mindful breaths, and simply allowing your awareness to settle on your willingness, your sense of willingness, that feeling of willingness. That willingness to see differently, that willingness to exchange our perceptions for miracles. And that willingness to see witnesses for love. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week. In the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 294. Right in the middle of the page, it begins with time can release as well as imprison. In the original edition, it is page 247 in the print copy of the book, or chapter 12, part 6, paragraph 48. Also begins with a sentence, time can release as well as imprison. And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 251. It is chapter 13, part 6, paragraph number 4. All right, so we've been reading about, the section is called Finding the Present, and it is basically all about how our biggest problem is that we see only the past, and we, eternity now is the closest experience that we have to eternity, so it's all about finding the present. Time can release as well as imprison, depending on whose interpretation of it you use. Past, present, and future are not continuous unless you force continuity on them. You can perceive them as continuous and make them so for you. But do not be deceived and then believe that this is how it is, for to believe that reality is what you would have it be according to your use for it is delusional. You would destroy time's continuity by breaking it into past, present, and future for your own purposes. You would anticipate the future on the basis of your past experience and plan for it accordingly. Yet by doing so, you are aligning past and future and not allowing the miracle which could intervene between them to free you to be born again. So I'll pause there, and a few things that immediately jump out to me that we read last week, and it says this in the paragraph prior to this one. It says, to be born again is to let the past go and look without condemnation on the present. So by getting into the present moment, that's where the miracle is, and that is what frees us to be able to let the past go. It also stands out to me, let me just see if I can find it really quick. It was something else that we read last week about time's continuity. It says, what we just read tonight, you would destroy time's continuity by breaking it into past, present, and future for your own purposes. It says that, Actually, now my mind is just, it just jumped to something else. Here we go. No, I lost it. Anyways, I'm going to go. My mind just went to another point that I was going to make, and I'm just going to go with that one. We just read something in this paragraph that reminded me of what we read last week, that we find it natural to use our past experience as the reference point from which to judge the present. That's what it said last week. So we tend to think, oh, well, what happened in the past? What did I do then? Let me do that again so I, you know what to do, whereas the Course in Miracles is prompting us to instead turn to the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit each time rather than using the past as our reference point, because in doing so, we're essentially keeping the past going, having that, you know, be our reference point to plan for the future, and then we're not leaving that space. We're not leaving that room for the miracle, for the present moment to come forth, to free us from the past. So I hope that made sense. I'm going to just pause and see, has anybody had anything come up so far? Any examples or questions or just any sentences that stand out to you?
Well, I kind of had an experience this weekend that where I did that, you know, rather than react to what was going on, I really got into the moment. And just kind of observed it and just kept moving forward. And I was so amazed at how well everything went, you know, not holding on to any grudges or anything that I might have been judging, and just kept moving through it all. And I just wound up having the best time, and I don't think I ever felt so close to people before. You know, I spent the weekend with friends, and we actually went to West Virginia for dinner, just for the hell of it.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Just for the hell of it?
Just for the hell of it.
That's awesome.
We stayed in a really nice little resort, but you know, when you're interacting and things can get a little funky, and just doing that, you know, just staying in the moment and just observing rather than judging, things just kept getting nicer. But honestly, by the time I get home, I felt so wonderful and so rested.
That's beautiful. I love how you said observing rather than judging. That's a huge, I think, a really important point to highlight that you did, that being able to just be that that quiet witness, and just even if the judgmental thoughts come up, like you've said so many times, it's not that they're going to stop necessarily, it's that we don't keep them, we give them to the Holy Spirit. But being in that space of observing rather than judging is just so freeing, because you know, the moment we judge and hang on to that judgment, we're slipping down that slippery slope, that slip and slide, straight down that ladder of fear. down we go.
Yeah.
But I love how you said that, observing rather than judging.
Yeah, that's that word that's very scary, that fear word. You know, a blast from the past, always, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And when they refer to the past in this, it could be 5 minutes ago.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily have to be 5 years ago or five days ago.
Absolutely.
You
and
know,
I think
and that's...
go on. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and even it doesn't have to even be a thing that happened in the past. It's even just our identity and thinking that we're this separate self. You know, that's an idea of a past thought that's over and done with, but that we're hanging on to. So I think I said last week, you know, I wake up every morning thinking that I'm Corinne, and that's actually a past thought as well, because that's not who I truly am. But what were you going to continue to say, Paula?
No, I was listening to you.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just so puzzling why the ego does that, creating that fog again of fear, you know? And mixing in the past. It's like, why? Why is it doing that?
Because that is... That's how this world is seemingly keeping going. It's how we are able to perceive ourselves as seemingly separate selves when in fact we are not. It's a grand illusion. It's a big hallucination, and that's how it keeps it going. That's how, you know, it seems to be very real, so it, you know, seemingly has our belief at this point in time, and that's where, you know, when we get into this idea of witnesses that we call forth, if we're calling forth witnesses to fear, it's strengthening our belief that, yes, in fact, I am a body that is vulnerable and can be sick and can be hurt. When we're choosing for the miracle instead, we're calling forth witnesses that show us that we're something much greater than what the body's eyes behold, and it's not feeding that ego dream or cycle anymore, if that makes sense. So I don't know if I'm exactly answering your question, because that's a big question that you're asking.
Yeah.
It's a big
question.
Yeah,
it's kind of like living in the past, stuck in the past, and the ego just kind of says, stay there. Don't
mm-hmm.
go forward,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Because and to answer that question simply, it's because release is in the present moment. And so it doesn't want us to find that release, because it's afraid we'll abandon it and no longer pump belief into it, which is true. So by keeping the past going, it keeps us distracted and not in the present.
Beautiful.
And can I mention one thing, Corinne?
Please.
The mind, which is another word for ego, is your mind, is your personal thought system.
Lowercase M, yes.
Right. When we get beyond the mind, we just observe and just let things be as they are. And I was reading some different materials about the mind. The mind is not comfortable with nothing because it has nothing to do. The mind is constructed to analyze, to judge, to figure out, plan, to do all of those things. So to go to a state where you're just observing and you're not judging, you're not analyzing, is so foreign, so foreign to us, that to be in the present moment, the mind quickly gets out of it because, you know, but what will I do? What will I do here? Just sit here? Just sit here? I can't just sit here. I've got to do something. You know, you feel worthless. You feel guilty for just sitting there. So it's the way the mind is constructed, and you have to let that deep rest come over you. And I thought that made a lot of sense, because when I find myself going into the present moment, it's like when you're meditating. Your mind doesn't want to stay there. It just doesn't want to stay there.
Right.
It just wants to go somewhere else, because it's just the way it's constructed. Do,
right.
attack, judge, do something. Just
right.
do.
Beautiful.
No matter
beautiful.
What it is, just do it.
But
yeah,
I think that's
right.
That bottom line, wanting to be happy, is really, and, you know, doing God's will, actually, because that is his will for us. He wants us to be happy.
Right.
We weren't put here to be miserable.
Right.
And, you know, just remembering that is, to me, kind of the carrot, you know.
I'd love to add, Sue, thank you so much for what you said, because that's so true, that the mind, and again, we're talking lowercase m mind on the ego level, not you know, capital M
right.
mind on the
right.
formless level. With that experience that I had when I went to the silent retreat, where, you know, 5 days of just sitting, walking, you know, practicing being fully in the present, you see, I mean, I came smack face-to-face with this wild energy of my mind just not wanting to be here and now, wanting to be anywhere other than the present moment. And I think I shared this with everybody, that the question came to me, why is the mind like this, like this mental energy? What is this? And this answer that showed up next to me just literally was like gently laid down next to me. With these walls that we've built, we've taken a little tiny piece of God, of love with a capital L, and sort of twisted it off where it's, you know, it's still part of the whole, but it seems now like it's separate. We've sort of walled it off, and it's no longer extending itself as God and love with a capital L does. We've sort of arrested, stopped that extension, and so that energy that wants to just extend love has these walls built all around it, and so it's ping-ponging off the walls like a you know, rubber ball, you know, those dense rubber bouncing balls. If you toss it in a small room, it just careens, you know, from wall to wall. That our mind just is like that, and so you're absolutely, when you said the mind's not comfortable with nothing, it certainly is not. When we then when we're in that decision maker mind, that space where we say, okay, well, I'm going to give this lowercase m mind, you know, this idea of an ego to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can then take that energy, that mind, and start to direct it again back to what it really is, that extension of love. And that's where, you know, we have these glimpses, these experiences. Ooh. I'm not sure
what
that beep was.
Sorry, I had to switch phones. That was me.
Okay. That's, okay.
That's part of that energy.
Oh, I love it. As long as we can identify, you know, what the sound is sometimes. I know a couple weeks ago there was something weird came over the line and we had no idea what it was. Anyway, so I hope I wanted to just add that because that came forward for me about, you know, the energy of the mind and, you know, directing it, giving it to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit use it on our behalf for awakening.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one little thing about the past because you brought that up again today, Corinne. And then Brian said, why does the ego use that? And I really think it's because without the past, there can be no guilt.
Right.
And the ego is all about, the nothingness is all about keeping you in that vibration of, you know, punishment, blame, doubt, all of that stuff.
Right.
So without the past, there can be no guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. That's a really important point. Without the past, there can be no guilt. Yep.
And the ego won't let go of that, right, Deidre?
Yeah, it's what the small self, the conditioned self, keeps wanting to replay to keep us believing in the conditioned self, where the Course is really talking about what we're doing is unlearning our conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
all for that.
Yeah.
We can be free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the dream. I mean, not the dream, but, you know, the goal.
That's who we are. We're not these little robots that are, you know, we are supposed to be in charge of the mind. We are supposed to be in charge of our emotions. We are supposed, but it's been sort of flip-flopped.
Well, it's interesting because this weekend I had a little thing come up just for me to observe, like Paula was talking about, just for me to observe and catch. And it was about like a relationship that I've shared with someone for on the level of form for a number of years, a family member. And I caught myself going down sort of an old pattern with this relationship. And today I was meditating about it, and I was, you know, noticing that my mind was going to a place that isn't of, you know, the vibration of love, isn't the vibration of peace and joy. And I caught myself and I thought, you know, I'm the one choosing to do this. I'm letting the small mind, as Corinne was talking about, let me go down this path. And I thought, you know, this upset that I'm feeling is all about efforting. So I made the decision today that I'm not going to effort anymore. I'm going to let what is be what it is. I'm not going to try to fix. I'm not going to try to do anything. And I've given it to Spirit. So We'll see.
Oh, Deidre.
I think it also kind of comes down to who is efforting, who is observing the darkness, who, you know, it's in truth. It's connecting with who we are in truth, you know, and that's the observer. The observer is who we are in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to buy into it. But again, it always comes down to, would you rather be right or happy?
Yeah.
You know, it's not about anything out there. It's, or anyone out there.
Of course.
It's really about peace and joy and being happy and doing God's will.
Well, and the thing is, when, for me, like when I know I'm doing God's will, there's no effort involved.
No,
there isn't any effort involved. So the minute you find yourself efforting, you know where you're located.
Deidre, that's it. That's absolutely it. And people pick up on that. And, you know, they stop efforting when it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
I just have to say, Deidre, when you were sharing, I wish you could have seen my face because I had just such a huge smile on my face. We've often shared before on the calls how, you know, our lessons maybe take different forms, but the content, you know, in the lesson is still the same. And again, you know, just as you were sharing, I was just laughing because the same thing has been coming forward for me. And I have to thank everybody just on the call tonight because you all just reminded me of an experience that I had that I forgot just a few days ago, and I meant to write it down, but I didn't. But I was driving in my car and listening to a song on the radio, and I've many times said, I give my life to God completely. I give my life over, you know, take everything and use it. This time it was that, but it was more spontaneous. It didn't begin with me sort of consciously saying those words. It was more of a feeling that came from within me. And I think I forget who said the word freedom so far tonight. I think it was Sue. I just had this feeling come over me that I give my life to Spirit completely, and I've never felt so free. And yeah. Deidre, when you spoke about, you know, letting everything be what it is, and that, you know, when we're doing God's will, you know, it's effortless. Mm-hmm. Recently, I've had a number of projects just sort of present themselves to me. You know, people asking, you know, do you want to do this together? Or, you know, I've shared with all of you before that I've been working on a book for a while. I have a lot of things, and I was in a place for a while of just like, oh, I want to get something done. You know, like I feel so ADD. I have all these open projects, and nothing is getting finished yet, and it's driving me nuts. And after I had that experience in the car of just completely feeling, just completely relinquishing my life, it was like, I don't have anything to worry about. Everything is going to fall into place and be taken care of, and you know.
And it already is taken care of. That's
it
the
is.
Thing.
It's going to get done when, or it's going to, yeah, exactly. It's already taken care of. You know, it'll seemingly get finished whenever it's meant to, and I have absolutely nothing to effort on. I don't have to worry about a thing. So when you shared that, Deidre, it just reminded me of that, and so I have to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Because it was
welcome.
Such an important, it was such a really profound experience, and it's one of those things, you know, when we have these profound experiences and then we forget about them, how in the world can I forget that, you know? How can I? But there's just the small M mind again wanting to get back into, you know, get its little hands dirty back in the world, like a, you know, a dirty little fly rubbing its little paws together, and then you forget about those profound experiences.
Well,
so thank you.
I also had a really profound experience also, because we had like a dinner this weekend last night, and I think I've shared on the calls before that I have noticed in myself, particularly near the beginning of my study with A Course in Miracles, and how, you know, I was afraid to tell certain members of my family about what I do as an angel intuitive and a psychic and everything. And I was observing this dinner that we were having, And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to say something, because there was a point in the conversation that came up and it felt like it was okay to sort of go there. And so I did. And I mentioned to some of the people that I have been most afraid to say, like, look, this is who I am. And I did, and nothing happened. Like, literally nothing. And it just made me laugh, because that's exactly what Jesus says about death, is nothing happened.
Cool.
And so, like, we spend all this time, like, thinking, you know, I had invented this illusion at the beginning of my, you know, course journey, that if I told certain people, like, the world would explode, like, all this horrible, you know, I'd be judged and blah, blah, blah. And nothing happened except, you know, them being supportive of what I was doing. They didn't need to understand it on the level of form. You know, when we're talking about, when I say they, I don't mean that we're separate. I mean that the experience as it happened, it was just a reflection how my mind had changed over, you know, I'd allowed myself to grow enough to think right-mindedly enough with spirit to be able to share that and go, you know, nothing happened. So
that's so awesome. That's so awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. Wow.
Yeah.
And that perfectly ties in, you know, as you were talking, my eyes just sort of drifted down, looking downwards, and my eyes landed on the next sentence that we'll read in the next paragraph. The miracle enables you to see your brother without his past and so perceive him as born again. So that to me speaks to what you just described, that you were in that space rather than you're seeing, you know, the past of the fears of, like, oh, well, they might judge me for this or they might judge me for that. You let that past go and so could, you know, perceive them without their past and what happened. But like you said, they were supportive, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome example.
Yeah.
Let's continue with this paragraph, actually. I'll just read that again. The miracle enables you to see your brother without his past and so perceive him as born again. His errors are all past, and by perceiving him without them, you are releasing him. And since his past is yours, you share in this release. Let no dark cloud out of your past obscure him from you, for truth lies only in the present, and you will find it if you seek it there. You have looked for it where it is not, and therefore have not found it. Learn then to seek it where it is, and it will dawn on eyes that see. Your past was made in anger, and if you use it to attack the present, you will not see the freedom that the present holds. Judgment and condemnation are behind you, and unless you bring them with you, you will see that you are free of them.
That is so incredible.
Isn't it?
That is just so incredible. We create this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite lines in the course is, the secret of salvation is this. I'm not maybe getting it exactly right. The secret of salvation is this. You are doing this unto yourself.
Unto yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, read that sentence, the let no dark cloud, Corinne. Can you read that sentence again? Right in the middle, let no dark cloud.
Let no dark cloud out of your past obscure him from you, for truth lies only in the present, and you will find it if you seek it there.
Yeah, that is, wow.
yeah.
That's a wow.
It's absolutely a wow. I feel like this whole section is a wow. I feel like everything that we've shared so far, Deidre, your example that you just shared, is what this whole paragraph is talking about.
Well, and it, like Paula was saying, it has nothing to do with anything out there.
Right.
the shift that has happened is that I love myself. You know, I love who I am, and there are no accidents, you know, with God giving me the ability to do this. So with my mind no longer being in that fear place of being, you know, afraid of what the gifts that I have, I now accept them. So, yes, there's a shift that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Beautiful. Let's read the next paragraph, too. Look lovingly upon the present, for it holds the only things that are forever true. All healing lies within it, because its continuity is real. It extends to all aspects of consciousness at the same time, and thus enables them to reach each other. The present is before time was, and will be when time is no more. In it is everything that is eternal, and they are one. Their continuity is timeless, and their communication is unbroken, for they are not separated by the past. Only the past can separate, and it is nowhere. When I read that last sentence, that also made me think, Brian, of your question that you asked earlier about, you know, like, why is the ego doing this? And then there you go.
Right.
It's because only the past can separate. That can't, and it's nowhere. And it's, if only the past can separate, it can't be, there can't be separation in the present.
So is it that the past doesn't exist?
Correct.
Oh, man, that's really...
It's one of those mind blowers again, right?
Only now. I want to share something about this.
Please.
That I think is kind of interesting. I bought a pair of shoes recently, and they're kind of heavy and a little clunky, and my knee started bothering me. And I was complaining to my daughter about it. I said, geez, I think these shoes hurt my knee. And she said, Ma, she went to a psychic a couple of years ago, and her father came through, and he kept saying to her, tell your mother her knee hurts because of those shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
And now this was years ago, and when I mentioned this to her the other day, oh, my knee is killing me, and I think it's these shoes, she started laughing. I think this reflects exactly what this is saying.
Wow.
She says, there's no time, you know, there's in spirit,
mm-hmm.
there is no time. There's no past. There's no future. So he was projecting that out. Oh, I can't. How can I put this? How can I put this in words? But I mean, it made so much sense.
Yeah. You gave me goosebumps.
It made so much sense. And I got rid of those shoes, and my knee is fine.
That's an outstanding example. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I feel like that definitely is a beautiful, concrete example of what this is talking about.
Wow. I hope I explained that well. I mean,
You did.
All
you
right.
You sure did. Absolutely.
But it just made so much sense to both of us. We started laughing. It's like, wow, that is so cool.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. Does anybody else have any comments or insights or questions or anything so far?
Hi, this is Kimberly. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Kimberly. Hi.
Hi. I was, okay, so the past isn't real. So I was letting events from my most recent past affect how, it's really weird how I was looking at stuff. And so then, anyway, we're talking, so I was having like a melancholy, you know, feeling. And then I was thinking, so I'm having a special relationship with the past. Am I having, you know, because we have these special relationships. So
right.
do you, see where I'm going? Can you, I'm going to mute. Can you kind of talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. You're spot on. We have special relationships with everything. And we definitely have a special relationship with the past as well. And so it simply, you know, if we're feeling off, if we're feeling, you know, sad, like you said, you know, maybe there was feelings of melancholy there, all you have to do is just simply find that tiny mustard seed of willingness to see it differently and take it to the Holy Spirit. Because again, we can't force ourselves to be anywhere other than we are, because we very much still believe in the past. You know, this is something that we've hardcore taught ourselves, and we're simply learning how to unlearn it. As I feel like somebody said something very similar to that earlier in the call. So, the importance of being where we're at, I feel like, is just something to stress over and over again, because we can't intellectualize or jump over or, you know, past our lessons. If something's coming up that still has some sort of emotional charge for us, it's coming up because it's an opportunity to have healing. It's an opportunity to give it to the Holy Spirit. So our task is so simple, and it's just to take that that special relationship, you know, to the past or to a person or to an event or whatever it may be, and simply find that willingness to see it differently, and then go into that space. Even if we feel even that we genuinely give it to the Holy Spirit, even just for a moment, that's enough, and we can remind ourselves that it's done. We've given it over. The answer has already been given. You know, it might just be that we're not ready to accept it yet. And if we're not ready to accept it, again, that's okay too. We can bring that to the Holy Spirit as well. So there's no cause for guilt if, you know, we still have hooks from the past or anything like that, because this is all, it's that layers of an onion. It's undoing, peeling back the layers of an onion.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helped. I know Kimberly's on mute. Does anybody else have anything to add to that? Any other comments or questions so far? Okay. I think Kimberly, you also raised a really good point with just, you know, that your statement of saying that we can have a special relationship to the past. We often think of special relationships just as a relationship to another person as being special, but, you know, we have a special relationship with our own body. We have a special relationship with our, mm-hmm. you know, our sense of who we are as a separate self. We can have special relationships with anything, including the past. So thank you.
Our cats.
Our cats, our cell phones.
And all the,
you know.
And all these feelings of, this is Sue, they're really just meant to keep, to protect that sense of who we think we are.
Right.
They're
yeah.
not evil. They're
mm-hmm.
not horrible. They're
yep.
not, you know, sins. We think, and we've been thinking for a long time, that we are this individual self. And you know what? That's really a scary, scary thought. It's like a little child who, you know, is in a household where nobody's kind of taking charge and is in control and is loving them. And they say, boy, if I'm in charge around here, we're really in trouble, you know. And I can remember having that feeling in my home, you know. And so these feelings were constructed to protect, you know, this fragile little image. And it
right.
is an image. It's an idol of who we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see through that and say, wait a minute, I'm not lacking anything. I don't need to defend this. I don't need to defend you know, who I think I am. And it's a working through process, because we've been identified with it, and it's a feeling of lack. I don't have the love that I need, so I got to look outside of it for me. I don't have the security I need, so I've got to look somewhere else for it rather than inside of, you know, all of these things, and those create feelings of lack. And that's when you lose your power. That's when you start to feel weak and you lose your energy, when you're looking outside of yourself all the time.
Yeah. Oh, that was so beautiful and so helpful. And I just really, I love how you said that, that those special relationships there are just there to protect these fragile, you know, images or senses of self or idols, whatever you want to say. The way that you said that really highlights how there's no guilt. You know, it's not evil. It's not horrible. It's just, it's we call them forth to protect this tiny mad idea that we are these separate selves.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, because I feel like
that's
really
why I love when he calls them the little children.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah.
it's you know, this is not true. This is not true. You are like little children, you know, that believes these things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
We must have decided wrongly.
Right,
sure did.
Right.
Yep.
So then we struggle, right? And we, I hate to say it, but you kind of battle with the ego. And I always tried to think we could go through it instead of trying to go around it. Just go through it. And then what do? You call for the Holy Spirit and you say, come inside me. Come inside my mind. Is that what you do?
Sure.
Yes, I'd say that the Holy Spirit is already there inside your mind. So I would say, you know, help me be aware of you. Help me be aware that you're already there.
Yeah.
Help.
But yeah. Yep.
Help.
And you're the one that... Corinne's
again,
the one
Brian?
That's spot on. You're the one on that's spot on. So
and it's a case of misplaced identification.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what it is. I'm identifying with the wrong aspect of myself.
Right.
When I'm feeling any of these yucky feelings, I'm identifying with a part of my mind that is not, you know, is not knowing the truth.
And it feels weak. It's like a weak feeling.
It's a very weak, powerless feeling, yes.
Yes, okay. Beautiful.
But it's just a misidentification. It's all it is.
Yeah.
It's like somebody, I like to listen to Guy Finley sometimes. I think he's good. He says, you feel attached to things that belong to you. He says, like if you scuff your new shoes, you get like, ooh, you know. And he says, if you're attached to this sense of self that you've made, anytime, any slight whatever, he says, you're going to be hurt because you actually think that the self that you created is real.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be hurt. You're going to be, say, oh, that's me. He says, it's not you any more than, you know, the reflection in the mirror is you. It's just... you've wrongly identified with your past, your ideas, your whatever it is, but it's because you're attached to it. You're either attached to it and think it's really a great thing that's who you are, or you are, you know, or you hate it. I hate this who I am. I hate this who I am. But you're still believing in it.
Right, right.
And that's all the ego in there doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The ego is just your ideas about yourself.
Yeah, false.
The false ideas you have about yourself.
The small self, lowercase s. Yep.
It's not a real thing. And I like when Lisa Natoli says that, if anybody's taken her for, she says, it's nothing. Quit saying my ego, because it's nothing. It's just a belief system that you have about yourself.
Beautiful. That's so true. Awesome. Let's read another paragraph. I think it's the present offers you, I believe.
That's it.
Yeah.
The present offers you your brothers in the light that would unite you with them and free you from the past. Would you then hold the past against them? For if you do, you are choosing to remain in the darkness that is not there, and refusing to accept the light that is offered you. For the light of perfect vision is freely given as it is freely received, and can be accepted only without limit. In this one still dimension of time, which does not change, and where there is no sight of what you were, you look at Christ and call his witnesses to shine on you because you called them forth. and they will not deny the truth in you because you looked for it in them and found it there. Those last couple of sentences stand out to me just as, again, this being, when we said before, the secret of salvation is this, you're doing this unto yourself. We have that ability to learn or to relearn how to call forth those witnesses, and they will show up because we have called them forth. And we get those glimpses through those miracles, through those seemingly small but really powerful teaching learning situations.
Yeah, there really is something very powerful in that, because when I realize that I called them forth, when I'm in those situations where something's happening that does not please me, I call that forth. I created that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, but by remembering to call on the Holy Spirit, it'll shift right before my eyes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It happened this afternoon. I got into a nasty little push-pull with my daughters, and when I got off the phone, I decided, I'm not doing this. I'm just not doing this.
Uh-huh.
I'm letting this go, and I'm not doing this. And 5 minutes later, the phone rang, and the whole thing changed. She wound up coming over for dinner. We had the best time. The food was great. We're doing this to ourselves. And it's so powerful to realize that and allow the Holy Spirit to undo all the consequences of this nonsense.
Right, right.
It's amazing.
One of a recent example that speaks to what we're talking about with just how we can make the choice to call forth witnesses for love. I shared a video on my Facebook page like maybe 2 days ago. Let me just open it really quick and see the woman's name. I forget her name. Corrine Walson is her name. It's on my Facebook page, and I'll actually repost it on the Miracle Share group. It's 11 minutes long, and it's really worth the watch. And essentially, her message in this video was about being obedient, meaning when you hear the Holy Spirit's voice, when you hear God's voice in your mind, listening and obeying or you know, doing what you're being prompted to do, even if the ego is saying, well, what do you mean? People might judge me or might be looking at me, you know, funny. Mm-hmm. She had this amazing, amazing example where she was, I forget the details, but maybe outside of a store or a restaurant, and there was a woman who was on the ground unconscious, and this woman's daughter was holding her, and I think the daughter was just, you know, terrified as she's holding her mom, her unconscious mom, on the sidewalk. And Corrine was prompted, she heard this voice, go sit and pray. So she did, even though, you know, the first thought through her head is like, oh, what is everybody going to think of, you know, me just going and sitting down and starting to pray? And then she was prompted to go to the daughter and put her hands on the woman. And then she was prompted to say to the girl, your fear is affecting your mother. And the moment she said that, the girl looked at her, and the mother's, who was unconscious, the mother's eyes opened, and she got up, and they were able to call off, you know, the ambulance that had been called. You have to hear it in her own words. It's a powerful example of how, you know, when we listen, when we're in that space of listening, you know, the things that come forth and how situations can shift based on our ability to hear. So it's on my Facebook page, and I'll also repost the link on the Miracle Share group because I think it's well worth the 11 minutes. It was amazing. Amazing. Oh, let's see. Where are we at? How about we read another paragraph? Now is the time of salvation, for now is the release from time. Reach out to all your brothers and touch them with the touch of Christ. In timeless union with them is your continuity, unbroken because it is wholly shared. God's guiltless Son is only light. There is no darkness in him anywhere, for he is whole. Call all your brothers to witness to his wholeness, as I am calling you to join with me. Every voice has a part in the song of redemption, the hymn of gladness and thanksgiving for the light to the Creator of light. The holy light that shines forth from God's Son is the witness that his light is of his Father. That was beautiful. Oh, I don't even know if I have any words. Does anybody have anything that came up for you? I love how it says, God's guiltless Son is only light. There is no darkness in him anywhere, for he is whole. Think of that. Embodying that for this moment. There's no darkness in you anywhere, for you are whole. Anything that we think we're struggling with, anything, you know, any challenge that we think that we have that's ahead of us or that we're currently going through or facing, it's actually not there. there's no darkness there. We're only light. There's only wholeness. Right now.
How about in timeless union with them is your continuity? Holy Jesus. Think about us on this call. Mm-hmm. In timeless union with them is your continuity. That gives me chills.
Yeah,
if we could maintain that timeless union.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're relearning. We're simply, I didn't even know if we're just relearning is the right word, undoing. You know, that's what we
right.
are, is that timeless union. And we're restoring, we're allowing our awareness of that to be restored.
You know, I find the more I work with this material, and really just anymore, I'm trying to just stick with the course instead of, you know, reading a lot of different things because sometimes I feel like it just causes static, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just try to stick. Joe always, you know,
mm-hmm.
he always said that.
Right.
But no, you know, I've always had to do it my way. But I'm doing it more that way anymore. You know, I'm just sticking with the course and that willingness, you know, to remain in timeless union with them. Oh, I tell you, you have the best time when you do that. People are so much fun.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just, another thing to share too, just as an example. My husband's 20th high school reunion was last night, and mine's coming up. And the willingness to go in with just letting go of the past, because, you know, of course, like high school, there's cliques, there's people that you felt totally uncomfortable around, people that you felt judged by, you know, you name it. It was glorious last night. It was as if everybody had just the willingness to have no past and even if you didn't talk to them in high school, it was like, hi, what's your name again? How are you? Just, it was amazing. It was just such a wonderful experience.
That's great.
Oh.
Well,
that's his will for us. That's what he wants for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, listen, I gotta scoot, so I'm gonna leave. Okay.
That
good night,
sounds
everybody.
Good. We're wrapping up. Good night, Sue.
Good night.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. We have under a minute left. Does anybody have anything that you would like to share to feel complete for tonight or not? Let's see.
I feel complete.
We feel complete. I think we're good. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, and we'll pick up where we left off next week. So have a miracle-filled week. Lots of love
Thank
to everyone.
You.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.